Welcome to Conversations with Cynthia. Cynthia Hyatt is a relationship expert, executive consultant, and life management coach. Cynthia Hyatt uses her 30 years of experience as a licensed psychotherapist to now offer in-office or concierge services through executive life coaching, consulting, and image management in order to help you be your own best version. Cynthia also specializes in speaking to groups worldwide about how to be successful in relationships, as well as artfully handling life's challenges. She has had many opportunities to present numerous educational seminars and lectures on a variety of motivational, inspirational, and mental health topics around the world. Please take a moment to visit her website at CynthiaHyatt.com. That's Cynthia, H-I-E-T-T.com. Her Facebook page at Cynthia Hyatt Incorporated for current events, updates, and inspiration during your week, as well as all social media platforms. You can hear this show as a podcast on iTunes and many other podcast services. Follow her on Facebook and Instagram. Now, with today's fresh insight, here's Cynthia Hyatt.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for joining me today. And here we are another Sunday. And I so appreciate you tuning in, listening, telling your friends about the show, taking advantage of all the things we have at on the website, which is CynthiaHyatt.com. And I'm very, very grateful and very thankful for all of you who are listening and really wanting to be the best version of you. The version that God has decided and thought up when He made you. The version that He really enjoys thinking about. And that you're going to be the best version of you. And I'm grateful that you are doing that and working on that. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, here we are around Easter. And what is Easter about? You know, that's about resurrection. It's about newness. It's all these types of wonderful things. And so I'm calling this one Easter Twilights because when God gave me this word, it resonated in my heart and I knew it wasn't really my idea. I felt certain that this was the concept for the Easter message. And I don't usually really focus on holidays in that way, but this really, I think, is important. And so usually if that's the case, where it feels truly inspired, it usually just flows. Well, this time it did not flow. It was very difficult. I liked the idea, and it was not happening. So it just wouldn't come. And then when it began to come, it wouldn't organize. So it came in patches and pieces and clumps and strings, and it felt so disjointed and so nebulous. And so I talked at length with Michael. You know, he gave me some great ideas. I talked with friends. They gave me great ideas. I kept hashing out what I was thinking and researching and studying and rehashing. And still it just sat there, a stack of papers. I mean, it got to the point I thought, you know, maybe I should do something different. I started to question if it was truly inspired. But it just would not go away. I knew God had something very special in this word twilight. And so I came to find it was much bigger than I anticipated. It seems like just a, you know, wisp of time. It comes and it goes and it's gone. So why twilight? Well, what could be so important about this seemingly innocuous time? It's just a shadow of night and day, like the bookends. So why would God be calling attention to twilight? Well, firstly, anything created by God is not without significance. Not without meaning, it's not a thoughtless gesture. All things are crucial pieces to the whole. And I was amazed at how crucial twilight is, how very complicated it is, how crucial its role is, and how God uses it. So, let me just educate a little on these things called twilight. So, let me tell you the definition of twilight. The diffused light from the sky during the early evening or early morning when the sun is below the horizon and its light is refracted by the Earth's atmosphere. Quite a definition, isn't it? Diffused light from the sky during the early evening or early morning when the sun is below the horizon and its light is refracted by the Earth's atmosphere. It's dim or diffused illumination. It's a period or condition of repose. What does that mean? It's temporary rest from activity or exertion, sleep or rest. And so it's following growth, glory, or success. Isn't that interesting? That this issue of twilight is actually giving us time to really reflect on the day that we had and how we're moving into the evening and the next and the night and the next day. And so it's a period of or condition of repose. It's giving us a temporary rest. It's the in-between time. And so it's a state of ambiguity or obscurity. It's maybe denoting irregularity. You know, it's like a twilight existence. Have you ever heard that? It's like I'm stuck in twilight. I don't want to move to the evening. I don't want to go back to the day. I'm just kind of stuck in the middle here. And so it's relating the end of a phase or an era. It's like when people say the twilight days of a presidency, right? It's like the twilight days of my life. And so more simply understood, twilight is winding up or winding down. So we can have in the morning twilight. We can have in the evening twilight. So it's either winding up for the day or it's winding down for the evening. So it's interesting to notice how difficult it is to recognize whether it's sunset or sunrise. So have you ever been sick or exhausted and wake up in twilight and you don't know if it's going into the day or the night? And so when I research twilight, I discover that there's much more going on than most of us realize. See, twilight in the Bible is considered the start, the third or sixth hour, which is late afternoon while the sun is moving toward setting. And after sunsets, there's actually three more twilights that occur. And so the reason I'm really expounding on this is because we are all in different twilights throughout our life. So we have natural twilights that lead us from evening to morning and back to evening. But we also have spiritual and emotional, psychological twilights that are leading us in and out of different phases of our lives and our spiritual growth. So this particular photographer, he really says it so well. He says, I see the same thing with portrait photographers. I can't tell you how many times I've been out shooting a lifestyle or engagement session during sunset and watched all the photographers scramble to get their shots in. Sure enough, as soon as the sun sets, the place clears out. And he says, this is fine with me. Because what most photographers don't understand is that once the sun has disappeared, a new window of opportunity begins. Isn't that interesting? Once the sun has disappeared, a new window of opportunity begins. See, there's still plenty of usable light. Twilight's the period of time in between day and night, and it's caused by refraction and the sun's rays scattering from the atmosphere. What most people don't know is that there are three different phases of twilight, and they're very distinct and very unique. And so the period of time leading up to sunset, or directly after sunset, are some of the most popular times for photographers. The light is beautiful and perfect for portraits and landscapes. And the sunlight's diffused and less harsh, really beautiful warm tones. And so what we can't really realize, I think there's something very spiritual about these times of days. They have a way of making people stop and maybe take things in. It's both calming and invigorating. But all across the world, at all the sunset watching parties and photo walks, as soon as the sun hits the horizon, people begin to pack up and head home. Little do they know that twilight is upon them. Think about this. So we have different types of twilight. So Jacob Lucas, he kind of talks about civil twilight. So civil twilight is the brightest phase of twilight, and it occurs the moment the sun dips below the horizon. The period of time lasts about 30 minutes, can be longer, can be shorter, depends on your position on the globe. During civil twilight, we may also be able to see the brightest stars in the sky, as well as some planets like Venus. The horizon is clearly visible, and so objects are clearly defined, and there's no additional light. It's not necessarily needed. So we get lots of golden tones and pink tones. Well, nautical twilight comes. And nautical twilight is in the evening. It's right before civil twilight in the morning. And this light starts to dissipate quickly. And silhouettes are going to be more prevalent in your shots. See, details will be harder. Then we get astronomical twilight. The last of twilight is known as astronomical twilight, or astro for short. 30 minutes before nighttime officially begins. Getting handheld images during this time is pretty much impossible. So we see the beauty of twilight, how kind our Lord is to offer twilight. Imagine if there were no twilight. We would go from all light to all dark instantaneously. How harsh. We'd be plunged into darkness or slam into light. You know how it feels when you're asleep and someone comes in and turns the light fully on and how exposing and painful it is. Or imagine doing an activity, driving a car, writing a paper, making dinner, and quote, just like that, it's pitch black. No gradations, no easing in or out of the day. See, we see how crucial twilight is just in a natural sense. But understanding twilight a little better, let's look at the most famous twilights in history. This is amazing. So we have last, the super faces, okay? The Last Supper, think about this. The Last Supper is when he faces his betrayer. He washes the disciples' feet, preparing them for ministry. And he leads to Jesus, to his dark night of the soul. That's what the first twilight does. That wonderful twilight leads Jesus into the dark night of the soul. The second one, Jesus says to the Father, "Thy will be done." He's betrayed by Judas, he's arrested, and he begins the walk of the way of suffering. The sixth hour, darkness falls all over the earth until the ninth hour, and the temple curtain is rent. This is Cynthia Hyatt with Conversations with Cynthia. Keep tuning in as we talk more about this beautiful issue that God has created called twilight. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Conversations with Cynthia. If you're just tuning in, I want to make sure that you visit the website at cynthiahyatt.com. That's spelled CINTHIAHIETT.com. Lots of things on the website. Really appreciate just you visiting and you giving us feedback. And so today, because this is, we're coming into Easter, I thought I would talk, instead of just talking about the death of Christ and Easter and all of that, I wanted to talk about what God has done helping Jesus. And a lot of it, we see it in twilight. We have all different types of twilight that occur. And they occur in this wonderful, very organized fashion. And so the most famous twilight in history is when Jesus had to face his betrayer. And his betrayer washes his feet. And this leads him into the dark night of the soul. And then Jesus says to the Father, "As the sun is still setting, thy will be done." Because he's been betrayed by Judas, he's arrested, and he begins the walk of the way of suffering. At the sixth hour of darkness, the sixth hour fell over the earth into the ninth hour. And this is when the temple curtain was rent. And this is where in John 19:30, this is the ninth hour, when he had received his last drink, Jesus says, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head, gave up his spirit, and was placed in the grave at sundown. And so this is important for us to recognize how kind our Lord is. That we can see that just as Jesus went through this entire process, This is what God does with us every day, in little pieces and big pieces. We go through the process of pregnancy, right? We go through the process of finding a new job. We go through the process of, you know, managing our children or our business. And we go through all these processes. And sometimes it's really dark. And sometimes it's really bright. And we see everything we should see. Maybe some things we don't want to see. And so when God has used this twilight issue, what he's doing is he's saying, I'm wanting you to heed where you're at in your life. Where are you? What are you doing? Are you ignoring the moment that you're in? See, Jesus lived every moment. He was fully present every moment. Now, that's quite a feat. And I can tell you, for me, I am not great at always being fully present. I'm somewhere else in my head all the time. And so this really resonated with me, that there's these different twilights that ease people into the next phase of their life. So I want you to think about, what twilight are you in right now? And so are you in the beginning? So it's just now finally maybe setting a little bit. You're recognizing that something in your life is probably coming to an end. And so maybe you're pushing back against it. You don't want to believe it. And God is saying, hey, this is a process. I'm with you through the process. I'm not going to leave you through the process. I'm easing you in to the process. And so when we see these famous moments in twilights, these twilights in history, these famous moments, it's amazing to think how kind God is. That when he's leading us through things, he's being as gentle as possible. And so this in John 19:30, this is the ninth hour when he received his last drink, and Jesus said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit, and he was placed in the grave at sundown. So all these things occurred, and God didn't go right from the top right to the bottom and skip everything in the middle. He made sure that for us, that we are being able to be led through whatever it is that we're doing. So if something is ending in our life, we want to accept God's grace as he graciously leads us through the ending of something and the beginning of something new. So this is where we want to say to ourselves, what do we know about twilight as it applies to us? Well, it's moving us into a new phase. It's indicating the end of a phase or era. It's a time of preparation. See, think about this. We many times just go through something and then we have to look back on it to try to understand it instead of being present while it's happening. So the issue of twilight is God's kindness that leads us into change gradually. It's about God's timing. It's his perfect timing. Now, that doesn't mean that we always get twilight. I mean, I've had times in my life where I missed it completely, or I, you know, ran right through it or tried to avoid it, and I didn't want to go to that next phase of life. I didn't want to do that next thing I knew I was supposed to do, whether it be end a relationship, start a relationship, stop a habit, you know, create a new healthy habit. Whatever it was, God is saying, hey, I'm giving you this period of time to get this done so that at the end of it, you're going to be where you belong. See, this is what God did with Jesus. He went all the way through until he got to be back with his Father. And so we don't want to try to skip over things. I mean, I'm, you know me well enough by now. I will skip over things if I can. And so I have to be very conscientious about, I don't want to have to go back and redo and undo things. And I've had to do that before, and I don't like it. So I want you to think about this. It's God's kindness that's helping us do a change gradually. It's God's timing. It's his perfect timing. Now, if we refuse it, and I've refused it before, then I'm going to have to catch up with myself, because God is saying, hey, I led you into this, and I'm going to get you all the way through it if you'll be with me while I do it and not do it in your own way. So what he's doing is he's either winding something up or he's winding something down. See, we're going into darkness, or we're finally coming out of darkness into light. So it's expansion and contraction. Twilight is expansion and contraction. So it's ambiguity or obscurity. So think about this, the period or condition of repose. This is kind of an old word. We don't really use it any longer, but it's temporary rest from activity, excitement, or exertion, especially sleep or rest that's given by sleep. And it's usually followed by growth, glory, or success. So if we're unwilling to do this condition of repose, to stop and take a breath, to get my bearings, to think about this, to maybe just relax a little bit. See, I have a tough time with this. I really do. I just want to blow through everything to get to where I want to go. And I then have to go back and do things over many times. And I've learned if I stay present and I do the moment that I'm in, I don't have to revisit it. And that has been super helpful. And when I recognize that God is creating this process for me to be able to get to the other side safely. This is Cynthia Hyatt with Conversations with Cynthia. Join me in the next segment as we talk more about this issue of twilight. Well, welcome back. I'm Cynthia Hyatt, your host. You're listening to Conversations with Cynthia. Thank you for joining in today. If you're just now joining in, I want to encourage you to go to your whatever podcast servers that you look on or listen to and download the shows and enjoy them so that you can stop, you can start, you can make notes. You can really take your time as you're listening to it. And today, in honor of Easter, we are talking about twilights. And so I was giving you lots of information in the beginning about all these different types of twilight that we have. And understand that it is the issue of twilight is the winding up or the winding down. And so it's sunrise to sunset. And this is where we're thinking about, wow, we have that in our life. Even if we're not seeing it visually, we have these twilights. And I want us to recognize those twilights, that we're either moving into something or we're moving out of something. And this is why this is so important. When God has really helped us to understand that he's easing us out of something or he's easing us into something, if we will let him. And so this is why it's so important to understand what about twilight? How does it apply to us? So we were saying in the last segment, it's part of it's God's kindness. It leads us into change gradually. It's about God's timing, his perfect timing. You know, and if we resist it, we're going to have to go back and redo it. And so it's either a winding up or a winding down. It's going into darkness, going into light. It's expansion or contraction. So we recognize it as a time of dim or diffused illumination, a state of ambiguity or obscurity. So it's temporary rest from activity, exertion, or it's growing and looking more toward glory and the next moment. So we have two kinds of twilights. We have natural twilight and there is spiritual twilight. Natural twilight is dealing with the natural man, with nature. And there are natural rhythms that God has established within his creation. There's a time to rise. There's a time to sleep, as well as a time to work and a time to rest. See, God knows his creation and its need for seasons and rest. So we can be thankful for these, quote, many seasons that we see in a 24-hour day. We get these new beginnings every morning. We know our day will end. It may feel interminable, but it will end if we let it. He has built in rest, margin, and space in this beautiful time of twilight. We have only to take advantage of it. Humans need time. They need rest. They need space to reflect, to let down, to expand, and to contract. See, we are human beings, not human doings. The Sabbath commandment is transgressed more often than any other commandment. Somehow, we don't think this commandment is very important. However, if you understand the human physiology and psyche, we find that if we honored this time of rest, we would not struggle so with sin. We would have more resolute strength to battle ourselves and the evil one. God tells us in Genesis, the second chapter, he said, "Thus the heavens and earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that which he had done." You see, the work was good, but the rest was holy. He even does this with the land. He lets the land have rest so that it will actually provide more in the next harvest. Do we not trust the Lord? And so we keep working, we keep pushing. Why rest? Why would this be? Well, this is the law of expansion and contraction. What happens to you when you break a law, even if you don't know about that particular law? Usually something you don't like, right? Well, your natural physiology will obey the laws of physics, even if you don't know them. So it makes a lot of sense to learn the laws before something happens that you don't like. So the physiology of your body is made to expand and contract and to rest and then wake. So when we talk about the law of expansion and contraction, this is extremely important and very easy. During the day, I'm moving with and it generates heat. I'm expanding. During the night, I'm reclining, which is the cool down. I'm contracting. So any athletes know the power of a cool down as well as the law of expansion and contraction. If I only work on expanding, I will eventually expand so far there's nothing left of me, or I will explode and destroy the substance of myself. If I only contract, I will then become weaker and atrophy or implode. There will be nothing left of me. So what the Lord is showing us through cycles of night and day with twilights is how to strengthen us. This is Cynthia Hyatt with Conversations with Cynthia. Join me in the next segment as we talk more about this idea of twilight. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Conversations with Cynthia. I'm Cynthia Hyatt, your host. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I'm talking today about Easter twilights. And if you missed the first part of the show, I want you to make sure that you can download it and listen to it. We talked about all these different things that happened while Jesus was going through the crucifixion to all through the resurrection. And so what I want you to think about is that God is showing us through cycles of night and day with twilights. These are the warm-up and the cool-down. And so this is how he strengthens us. And twilight is the natural sense that gives us this reminder that it's time to warm up, wind up, or it's time to cool down, to wind down. And if we don't respect the way God has made us, we will not only injure ourselves, but significantly weaken ourselves, physically, psychologically, intellectually, and spiritually. So what if I have a really good day and I refuse to end it? Or a bad day and I keep working it? Twilight is coming and I keep pushing through, resisting the transition, refusing to accept God's time, that the day is over. As a result, I miss the healing restorative time of early evening and the subsequent night, the time to stop, to recline and to rest. Or conversely, I end my day too soon. Or I don't start my day at all. I don't want to live it. I want to escape. I want it to stay nighttime. See, I need to trust in the one who died for me. I can do each day and each night with him. He is with me. He understands the struggles that will come as well as the blessings. If I resist doing my day, my life, I may escape some hardships, but I steal from myself the blessings that are waiting for me. The twilights give us time to catch our breath. This natural twilight is what helps transition us into experiencing seasons and phases of life. Our children are growing up. Maybe we're starting a new job. Maybe we're experiencing a life-threatening illness or a financial reversal. Maybe the twilight is that you just found out you were going to have a grandchild. And so the state of ambiguity or repose following the growth or glory is the twilight followed by darkness and then leading to a second twilight, which is the dawn, followed by a daylight, which is new life. Natural twilights offer and oftentimes require our willingness to go through the grief and loss process. Something has to end in order for a new thing to begin. Even if it's the death of a good thing for the better, we still need to grieve the loss of whatever it was, as well as the need to grieve the loss of a time period or of a loved one's passing. There is always twilight before and after that help with transition if we don't resist it. So I want you to think about this. See, I have this beautiful prayer, and I cannot remember who gave it to me. It was years ago. And it's called the Jesus Prayer. And this is what it is. It's very short and very easy to say. It's, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And that prayer has helped me in so many ways. It helps me re-energize. It helps me to reset myself. It helps me to get back to who my Maker is, back to who I am. And I use this as a meditation by breathing in the first part and exhaling the second part. It is truly establishing my position with Christ. That is, He is Lord, the Son of the Most High God. I humble myself and ask for mercy, and I admit that I'm a sinner. And I will tell you that men have had more difficult time saying, you know, dealing with this. And it's due to the fact that it doesn't occur to them to ask for mercy and help unceasingly. It isn't that men are more arrogant or prideful than women. It's that it just doesn't occur to them. They're hardwired to depend upon themselves. And this prayer has been prayed for over 1,500 years. It is seen as the prayer that enables us to pray unceasingly. And so when we think about this, it leads us to a spiritual twilight. It's characterized by the presence of those attributes that define twilight. It's just not happening, you know, in the natural or the physical realm. So maybe I can't see it with the naked eye. Maybe I can only see it and experience it with my mind's eye. I need to be sensitive to spiritual twilight. What is God now doing in my life, in the lives of others, or in the world? What am I sensing? Remember, twilight means that things seem obscure, or there seems to be a lack of illumination, or something feels like it's ending or maybe beginning. Maybe I'm in twilight. I must resist not paying attention. See, this is God's destiny, which is always good. Not always comfortable, but always good. So always remind yourself, the twilight is leading to expansion or contraction. Can be exceedingly painful or exhilarating. We need to remind ourselves that not only has God gone before us, but He will be with us in the midst of this time. Twilight is preparation. Jesus took advantage of twilight. All those different twilights moved Him through the process to which God was ultimately calling Him to accomplish. In the natural realm, days and nights are time limited. However, in the spiritual realm, the length of my days and nights are directed by the Lord. Spiritual nights are usually a time of rest, obscurity, maybe a feeling of being removed from, quote, normal life. Maybe in retrospect, you can see the twilight that led to maybe a sabbatical or a retirement from career. Is it important in these times that we truly rest and trust the Lord with our life? Yes, it is. He tells us He has not forgotten us. He knows what He is doing when He allows for something to end, even if it's good. He knows when we need rest and that we may have been resisting, and as a result, He requires it of now. Maybe your spiritual night is that of a dark night of the soul, as Jesus wrestled through the night before his arrest. Maybe you are in a sleepless night with no friends to stay awake or comfort you and to pray. Maybe you're being tested and tried in your faith to solely depend on God, to press in and say finally with certainty, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And maybe that's what ushers in the morning twilight. See, simply surrendering is extremely difficult for us. Maybe your dark night started out as a wonderful event and you found yourself sinking into darkness. Always remember, the Lord is with us. That's Psalms 23. And he will be with us the entire night and walk us through a transitional twilight until we are ready for the full light of day. After such a night, it is a time to rise, to walk out of the darkness. Just as Jesus called Lazarus to come forth, he made sure the stone was rolled away. And it says, actually, he shouted to Lazarus, "Come forth." So is God calling you to come forth? Is he needing to shout at you? Just as in the early morning, the signal of twilight is the rooster crowing. How many times have you resisted twilight signaling a new day? How many times has the cock crowed and you've stayed in the tomb, even as another day passes? Is the enemy coming against you and you want to deny it? Maybe you want to minimize it and make it a physical or natural problem, when maybe it's a spiritual problem. So if you're in this particular spiritual or physical fight of night, don't miss the cock crowing. Don't miss the voice of the Lord calling you to come forth. It is time. A new day is dawning. Have courage. You can trust the one who died for you. See, spiritual twilight, very nebulous. This is not an excuse to ignore it or to explain it away. It's either a time of rest, a sabbatical, which many times is a time of obscurity, a time of repose, of reflection, of reordering or recentering or repositioning. And I'll be honest with you, these are my hardest ones. I don't want to stop and reflect. I want to do something to feel better. And this is how all of us are. So if it's not that, maybe it's a dark night of the soul. Maybe this is a time of trial and tribulation. Maybe it's one that's testing your faith. Maybe it's a purifying process. See, is God calling you forth as he did with Lazarus? Ask yourself this. Have you been in the tomb too long? Are you refusing to come forth? What are you saying? Are you saying no to God? What are you saying no to God about? We asked him to be in our lives, but do we want him to drive our lives? Again, we are led to the Jesus prayer, resulting in thy will be done. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, your sinner. So what twilight are you in? What are you saying no to God about? You asked him into your life, but have you given all your life to him? Do you still want to drive and only ask him for help when you're in dire straits? When you're in a spiritual twilight? When you have nowhere else to turn? Yet, this is what brought you to the Lord to begin with. See, twilight is different. It's the way we order our world, to honor God's timing and to return to the natural rhythm of how he made us to be. See, twilight as a way to remember sacrificing daily, to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. I want you to recognize that twilight is the transition that moves us into the next phase of our calling. Twilight is preparation. Twilight is crucial. Don't miss it. Don't blow through it. Twilight causes us to slow down and to find Jesus. Live today as if it's your last. Plan as if it will be your forever. And know who holds your future. You can trust the one who died for you. So I want you to really think about this. What twilight are you in? Are you ignoring it? Are you lengthening it? Are you trying to get out of it too quickly? What's going on with your twilight? Are you ignoring it? And so this is where, when Jesus called Lazarus to come forth, this is very interesting. He made sure the stone was rolled away. He didn't ask Lazarus to roll the stone away. He simply called him forth, and he made sure that he could come forth. He shouted to Lazarus, "Come forth." So ask yourself, is God calling you to come forth? Is he needing to shout at you? Well, God has shouted at me before, so you're in good company. So think about this. What is God doing in my life? And what am I doing with these twilights that I have? I want you to make sure that you're not ignoring them, that you're paying attention to them, that you're recognizing this is part of the ebb and flow of life. This is what God is wanting to make happen for you. And he's saying, come forth. I don't know what you're coming forth to or in. I just know he's needing you to come forth. This is Cynthia Hyatt with Conversations with Cynthia. Thank you so much for joining me today about Easter twilights. I want you to be blessed. Have a great day.
We hope this past hour has been encouraging, motivating, and inspiring to you. The messages and teachings shared during the show are given as a way to reach you, the listener, with ideas and insights on how you may not only improve your life, but have more successful and meaningful relationships as you become the best version of you. Cynthia is available as a keynote speaker or guest speaker for your corporate or spiritual events. Cynthia is able to customize a message for any audience attending a meeting, retreat, or conference. In addition to this, she oftentimes partners her messages with music, as she is a singer and musician. Please contact her through her website at cynthiahyatt.com. If you missed any part of this program, you can download the most current show from her website at cynthiahyatt.com or hear a replay on your favorite podcast server. Please take a moment to visit her Facebook page at Cynthia Hyatt Incorporated and leave your ideas and comments about today's show. Now, be your own best version.